Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the How to Be Saved from Suicide podcast. This is episode number 4. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help you confront from a biblical perspective the tragic epidemic of suicide in our world today, which has even seen a spate of self-professing Christians in positions of ministry leadership, namely pastors, take their own lives. The World Health Organization estimates that each year approximately 1 million people die from suicide, which represents a global mortality rate of 16 people per 100,000, or one death every 40 seconds. It is predicted that by 2020, this year, the rate of death by suicide will increase to one every 20 seconds. And with the plague pandemic, sadly and unfortunately, that is coming to pass. As the Apostle James wrote in this epistle on a different matter, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Our scripture passage from the Word of God today for this episode of the How to Be Saved from Suicide podcast is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17, which says, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" Beloved, our quote, our featured quote for this episode today of the How to Be Saved from Suicide podcast is from Harold Ivan Smith. He says, "Some of the most challenging work a suicide survivor can do is pray. To pray fully, survivors must bring all of themselves to the prayer. Their anger, their disappointment, fears, insecurities, and whys and wherefores. I bring all of me into an encounter with God, aware that nothing in the human experience or the human response to the ambushes of life is alien to God." Beloved, in this podcast, we are going through the interesting book, Preventing Suicide, a handbook for pastors, chaplains, and pastoral counselors by Dr. Karen Mason. Beloved, we continue today with the introduction, part 4. What does the church have to do with suicide prevention? With all these depictions and attitudes toward suicide swirling about, it's no wonder I approached my client Jane with confusion, because I'm a Christian. I wondered if the church would be a resource for her. William James, who suffered from depression with suicidal thoughts, regarded religious faith as the most powerful safeguard against suicide. However, Jane explained that her church had held an exorcism for her, and she said she would never set foot in a church again. The church is not always the resource it could be. Angie died when she picked up a handgun and it went off. Though no one will ever know Angie's intentions, Angie's mother received a letter from her brother a Protestant minister that said, "I can't absolve her. You'll have to accept that she's probably in hell." This type of pronouncement can have long-term negative consequences. Beeble and Foster note, within 2 years of a suicide, at least 80% of survivors will either leave the church they were attending and join another, or stop attending church altogether. The two most common reasons for this are, number one, disappointment due to unmet expectations, and number two, criticism or judgmental attitudes and treatment. Despite these complications, I am convinced of the importance of pastors, chaplains, and pastoral counselors in suicide prevention for two reasons. Science and my own experience tell me that faith is important in suicide prevention, very important. Studies have found that religiosity protects against suicide. In my own life, I recognize how important my faith is to me in different times, in difficult times. And I know I would never want to live life without it. In addition, more than any other professionals, pastors, chaplains, and pastoral counselors and ministers, minister at the intersection of theology and moral practice. They teach people to choose life. They provide guidance in how to build lives worth living. They teach how to manage suffering. They monitor and intervene when suicidal people come to them for help. They guide faith communities in how to support suicide survivors. They partner with others in their communities. In fact, the U.S. government recognizes the key role of faith-based leaders and communities in its 2012 National Strategy for Suicide Prevention, Goals and Objectives for Action Report. Pastoral caregivers have a vital and unique role to play in suicide prevention, and there's no doubt about that. But if you're a pastor, chaplain, or pastoral counselor, you may not always know what to do. You may feel the same confusion I did with my suicidal client. This book is designed to help you to recognize and use your ministry preparation to come alongside those who intend to take their own lives, and provide comfort to those who have lost someone to this awful thing called suicide. As a pastor, chaplain, and pastoral counselor, you can help prevent suicide by Number one, teaching a theology of life and death, including moral objections to suicide. Teaching theodicy, or how to understand and manage suffering. Directly engaging the issue of suicide, stigma-free when people become suicidal, attempt suicide, or die by suicide. Teaching how to build a life worth living with meaningful purpose and belongingness. Offering community where relationship skills are learned and practiced, and where those who need support can get it, partnering with others in preventing suicide. Though these tasks are huge, I hope to convince you by the end of this podcast together that they are achievable. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we'll be back soon. And we will continue looking at this subject, this tragic subject, in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done and for what you have done here today through your holy word. Lord, I do pray that you will have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins, crucify our flesh, and fill us with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, bless and anoint the services to come in every way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for our sake. Amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and all idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to Him right now, He will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life and that I have broken your commandments and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that He died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for His sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.